Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. Play now at supercoach.com.au. We all love a good Sunday session.
Frothy time!
Oh. And this Sunday session comes to you.
Oh, how good!
This is the Rush Hour Sunday session. The best of JB and Billy on Triple M.
Just like Johnny Farnham, Jim, it keeps coming back.
What, your guts?
No, Jim, you flog. Actually, that's never going to go away, to be fair. But I'm talking about my fantastic segment, Trending Stories Unusual.
We'll also have the Rush Hour family's favourite segment, The Idiot File.
Oh, no. Plus, I've got a very good joke about a parrot, Jim, that swears a lot. And I want to talk to you about Justin Langer.
Good. But next, the Boomers collected a bronze in Tokyo and we chat to their legendary head coach, Brian Gorgian.
Our next guest led the Boomers to their first ever Olympic medal, cementing his status as Australia's best ever basketball coach. To tell us all about the Boomers' run in Tokyo, please welcome Brian Gorgian.
Bill, of all of the Olympic stories, and there were hundreds of them, they were all magnificent. Right. This, I think, captured Australia more than any other.
I think you're right.
The Boomers' first ever Olympic medal, and this man, his resume is just now quite simply extraordinary. He joins us from Darwin. Brian Gorgian, welcome.
How are we? How's Melbourne?
Well, we're locked down in Melbourne here, mate, as you are up there in Howard Springs. But have you had time to reflect and just think, wow, how good was that?
No, more so than anything I've ever been involved in. You know, the stress always in your mind as a coach, what happens if this doesn't happen? And when I took the job late, obviously just before the Olympics started, knowing you only have 5 days of practice and the level in which they played and taking the next step of getting a medal was a challenge. And if it didn't happen, what then? So the relief of actually getting it done. I haven't stopped. I'm with four or five guys. We're in bungalows next to each other. We get up in the morning, have a couple, look at each other on the balcony and pump our fish. That fist, there's a constant effort of not letting that feeling go.
We had Chris Golding on not long ago. He was in quarantine, same as you. And we played him the Andrew Gaze audio of after you guys had won. I'm sure you've heard it, so we won't do it again. But Goldie was, he got all emotional when he heard Gazy talking about the legacy of the Boomers and how many times they've fallen just short. And, you know, the great names he was talking about, Larry Sengstock, et cetera, et cetera. Do you get that same sense of what this win meant to generations of Australian basketballers?
No, I was out in January 1977. I played for Lindsay. My last year, I played with Andrew. Eddie Palavinskas.
Palavinskas, how good was he?
Yeah, no, I mean, you go back in the history of this, and I, you know, going long important on this, not just myself, because I had a vision of you know, Lindsay and Andrew Bogut, all those people, Longley, I've been in touch with leading into it. He was very helpful. You know, everybody, Danny Morsu, all these people wanted, and you knew they were in, but Patty Mills did a tremendous culture night of honoring and making sure that the past and those players were touched. He did a great job of the present, gold medal vibes only, the present right now, getting it done now, and then touching for the future Josh Green, Matisse Teibel, Josh Giddey. That group, Reith Duop, that group will get past this so you're not starting from scratch. That's almost an eight-year loss if those guys aren't touched by Joe, Patty, Baines, that group. So all aspects of this were touched, and we knew, we felt going into that game when you talk about how they played and the will that they had against guys like Luke Daka, you know, Kevin Durant. We knew we were representing those guys, and we knew they had everybody's attention. So it was a proud moment.
Bloody oath.
I love this too. And we are going to play this audio, Gorge, because it got through to us that you arrived in Darwin.
Howard Springs.
Swimmer's already there. Have a listen.
Yeah, go the Boomers! Boomers! Yeah, Boomers!
Oh, how good's that?
That was something. I got to say, we went back to the – with COVID, there was a different element to this too. The Olympic team really supported each other. And we came back to the village. The TV was on in front. Everybody was getting high fives. And I got to say, we had a good time. I hadn't been to bed for like a day and a half. So I got on that plane,
good,
half asleep. Came in the middle of the night. I was dragging my suitcases, walking around the corner, and go, "Holy shit, what's this?"
That's Aussies.
That's
that is
brilliant.
Aussies.
That's what it is.
Hey, do you get a medal, Gorge?
No.
Really?
Honestly, totally irrelevant. You know, it's like a ring. Oh. It's something. No, really. You. It's the moment. It's. And again, they talk about the next one and what we're going to do. And we got to keep, you know, it's something you wear around your heart. I don't need something around my neck for me personally. It's like, man, it's an experience I had with a special group that I carry in my heart, and it'll never leave me.
You deserve something. Bloody around your neck. It was nuts. We loved every second of it. Can't wait for you to get out of quarantine up there, get down to Melbourne, and every Australian's buying you a beer.
And believe me, I'll drink every one.
The Rush Hour Sunday Session, pouring out the gold from JB and Billy on Triple M.
Now, Jimmy boy, I read with interest about Justin Langer under the spotlight amid claims of unrest inside Australia's men's cricket team. There's been a bit of smoke. There's been a bit of fire about JL. You're his good mate and you're the cricket man here. What is going on with Justin Langer?
Well, look, unlike Malcolm Conn, Fat, I haven't had the privilege of being in Australian sport's most coveted inner sanctum, which I believe to be the Australian cricket dressing room. Yeah. I haven't been in there. In Malcolm's case, he had the paid privilege as an employee. Mm-hmm. So how the hell he lies straight in bed after what he wrote today, I don't know. Because if you're paid to be in there...
So he's in the inner sanctum.
What happens in there stays in there.
So what did he write
have a look at it. Because for me, it's an extraordinary breach of confidence. Right. None of that should ever be allowed. But anyway, I haven't been in there.
Yep.
So I don't have the answer as to whether he is the right person to do the job or not. Mm-hmm. I'm not close enough to it.
But we're hearing things, aren't we?
I do know this, Fat. He's passionate. He's driven. Yep. He's the most loyal person I've ever met in sport. He loves his players and he hates losing.
Tick, tick, tick.
And they're pretty handy qualities for a coach, last time I checked.
Yeah.
But he is very intense. He always was. He was when he was a player.
Yes.
You know, I was one of his best. I was the MC at his wedding. Mm-hmm. I played against him a lot. I used to fly into him on the field a lot because as good of mates as we were, he just couldn't help himself. Yes. And you knew it was very easy to get under his skin because he... You played with a lot of blokes, Bill, and so did I, who loved competing. But there's some blokes that take it up a notch and hate losing so much that it just consumes
them. Alan Border.
Alan Border's another
Joel
one of them.
Joel Selwood
hates losing so much, it actually consumes them.
Yep.
And that was JL. Yes. Always was. So the intensity is driven out of a hatred of losing. You know, a demanding of standards that drive a team so that they don't lose.
Right. But it feels like, and this is from me, outsider, it feels like he's been pushed out of the job.
Well, I don't know enough about that either, Bill, but I know the players have got much more say than they ever had in our day.
Yes.
Like, you know, when you were playing and when I was playing cricket, no one gave a stuff what I thought or what you thought. You just got told what you were doing.
But speaking of the players, Jim, they don't like being criticised like we used to get. Yeah. Malcolm Blight, just one, he would go berserk at you and things like that. That you can't do that anymore. Does JL still do a bit of that?
Maybe. As I say, I haven't been in there, so I can't tell you from a first-hand point of view. Yeah. But I imagine that he's pretty honest with his feedback.
Honest, yes.
And, Bill, I'm with you. Like, we know with our own sons.
Oh.
My four sons, the first word they learnt to say was, "Not my fault." They'd knock a glass off the kitchen table, smash it on the floor. First thing they said was not my fault.
Wasn't
and I'd say to them, "Well, wasn't it your fault? You knocked it off and it broke." But that's the modern generation. I don't get it, I must admit. But we were brought up in a different environment, Fat, where you were told very clearly what you were and weren't doing right.
Mm-hmm.
And you just had to wear it. I remember coming, like Jamie Siddons was the captain of South Australia and I played, loved him.
Yeah.
Loved playing with him, loved playing under him, and he was brutal with his feedback. He'd walk in after doing something wrong in the field at lunchtime. First thing he'd say is, "Bray, not good enough, mate. Not good enough.
Which is good.
And I loved it.
The best clubs do that.
I loved it, Bill. Yeah. It drove you to get better. And you knew, I'll tell you why you got better, because you knew he wasn't going to let you get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I reckon skunky people think if you don't get pulled up, you might have just got away,
get away with it.
And you know, if it's a proper leadership, Bill, you only need to get to training at North, at Geelong, listen to Robbie Tarrant with his feedback around the match sim. He's screaming at blokes.
Oh. Mate, you know? Well,
and that's how they get better.
With Chappie and Jimmy Bartell and Stevie J, mate, they used to be on top of everyone.
But that's good.
Yeah, that's right. That's why they were successful.
It's how you get better. So the modern players are different, and maybe his honesty and direct feedback is something that they can't cope with. Maybe I use that word fact because I'm not in there, so I can't be.
But I think you might be right, Tim.
Yeah. So maybe he's got to evolve in the role, and maybe they've got to say, you know what, instead of having an issue with that, we've just got to accept that that's what he's like and get on with it.
Exactly. Get on with it and win.
The Rush Hour Sunday Session. Back soon with more from JB and Billy. Oh, and by the way, it's your round.
Trending Stories is back.
Oh, what?
Yes!
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
Well, I've got one too.
Have you?
See, I'm coming after you.
All right then. But this is trending, Jim. Happened a month ago, but it's trending, has been for a month, and it's unusual. Some parrots were removed from a UK zoo, Jim, after teaching each other to swear. Have a listen to this report on the parrots. Naughty.
Some foul-mouthed parrots at a British zoo are in big trouble for swearing at guests. Five African grey parrots were donated, now get this, from separate owners, but they were donated to the Lincolnshire Wildlife Park within the same week. Well, the birds had to be quarantined together. You know how parrots are, they start talking, and soon they were cussing at each other. Then they put them on display, and they cussed at the visitors, who then started swearing back at the parrots.
The parrots all laughed. They got together just like blokes, old blokes in a tea room, laughing and carrying on. You wouldn't believe, Jim, I got my hands on some audio of the parrots and what they can say. And the first one, I think, might be about you.
What? James Brayshaw is a dickhead. What?
And Jim is...
Listen to that. That might be the worst thing you've ever put together.
No, there's more.
There's more.
There's more.
Are you sure you want to go with
this? Yes, because this is about me.
What? Billy Brownless is the best. What?
Billy Brownless is the best.
Listen to that.
It's the worst shit we've ever done.
You couldn't put that to air.
No, yes, could you? That's
so you've gone into the booth with Maddie and imitated.
I know it sounds a bit crackly, but it had to come from the UK.
No, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just a bit crackly,
Is that it?
That's it. Just do Jim again. Just do Jim again, Rabs, please.
What? James Brayshaw is a dickhead. What?
He even does another arc after it.
Come on, Maddie, you better than that.
All right, so that is so appalling.
That's good.
That is so appalling that what I've decided to do, I sent this to Rabbits because on Twitter, and I'm not on Twitter, but I was sent a feed. I don't know how that works, but anyway, I sent a feed. It came up on my screen and I hit play. And what it was because they call him Lionel, even though it's Lionel. Lionel Messi has moved from Barcelona to Paris
Saint-Germain.
Saint-Germain.
$1 million a week.
So, Bill, because of that, someone had put together the top 50 goals he scored for FC Barcelona. I'm not a big soccer fan, but this feed is extraordinary. Rabbits, I couldn't believe some of the stuff he's done is like quite simply outrageous.
Yeah. Yep.
He's the most skillful little bastard I've ever seen.
Yeah. And he's only little and built.
But not only the speed and the power, but then the beautiful touch, just lifting it over goalies. Yeah. Extraordinary. But anyway, one of the 50 caught my attention because instead of the beautiful, what's his name, Martin, the Luther. Famous soccer commentator, Martin. Anyway, Martin Luther, who speaks beautifully and does a great job of commentating the magnificent game. This one was commentated by someone from the local radio station, the Spanish.
Oh, they love him, Jim.
And Bill. Some people think I get wound up a bit in commentary.
Right.
Just have a listen to this bloke.
Assistència de Xavi, més capreta per a Messi, 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 immens Messi, encara 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 Messi, gol, 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 gol,
I think he scored. I think he scored, Jim. Is there anyone else in the team?
I don't know.
Just Messi.
No, no, that's it. Gala Messi, Gala Messi, Gala Messi. Because he took it from the halfway line, and it was an extraordinary goal. But I'm thinking to myself, that's commentary that's only going into Barcelona.
Well, exactly.
No one else is hearing that.
That's like K-Rock.
Gola, 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 gola.
Mate, that is unbelievable because he was a superstar, obviously.
Martin Tyler was the gentleman we're thinking about, who is the superb soccer commentator who we all know and love. But this bloke just went about it slightly differently.
Touch different. But I liked it. Not as good as the Parrots.
No,
but
I think
not
it was better than the Parrots.
James Brayshaw is a dickhead.
You might as well have done it live. Instead of going into the booth, you might as well have done it live.
At Triple M, we recommend you Sunday Session responsibly, or you'll end up like Billy.
And it was
the Rush Hour Sunday Session on Triple M.
I feel good.
All right, so I get an email from Barry.
Barry.
Yeah, Barry.
Barry Denner. Where from?
What's it beyond officer there, down that way? Well, you know that better than me, Rebs.
Warrigal or Pakenham?
I think Warrigal. We're down
Nana
that
Goon.
Way.
Nana
Goon. Well, I don't think quite Nana Goon, but right. Anyway, Baz is from down that way.
Okay.
He sends me an email.
Does he, Baz?
Yeah, he does.
Tynong?
He goes, Jim, you are a star. And then I can't believe most of them start like that.
I can't believe
it. No, they do. But Jim, you're a star. Thanks, Baz. I appreciate it.
I should have known it was going to start like that.
That's how it started. But he then says to me, he goes, I really like the idiot songs.
Oh.
He goes, I know Matty in the booth does an unbelievable job of putting them together.
Yes.
But he said, I don't want to sound like I'm being critical, but they don't go long enough.
Oh.
That's what Barry reckons.
Right.
So he said, as much as I like the idiot song, I like the idiot file much more.
Right.
Because you get more stuff in them.
Right.
So next one, he said, please don't insult Matty. Tell him I love the songs, but the file I like more because they go longer.
Right.
So for you, Baz.
From Poo-ong.
From down that way, here is an idiot file.
Well done to Zach there. And then, of course, we thought we might have got gold, but we got silver with Kyle Chalmers.
Chalmers.
But also at Collingwood, Jeremy Howe.
Oh.
How good that?
How good that? That good?
Good.
Yeah.
And also the Kookaburras, Jim. Do you see that? 2-2 they defeated the Netherlands. That was a beauty.
Well, 2-2's not a defeat.
2-2, so you fool's head, I said. 2-2. 2-2, and they got through there. Jimmy boy, we've got a bit of Olympics and we've got a bit of the footy.
Come on then.
There's no right. Let's go straight into it. I don't know what I want. Is Mitch Marsh hard to say that?
Not really.
Is he taking the next step? You say it. How do you say it, Finchie?
Mitch Marsh.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, not
hard. G'day, Jimmy boy. Great to be with you. Beautiful sunshiny day, and great to be you, Rebs. Round 21, Hawthorn take on Collingwood in Launceston, Jim, this Sunday. It's the first time Collingwood has played in Tassie. You're a Tassie boy up the other end, Hobart.
Down the other
end.
Well, up or down,
it depends
you're standing.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway, and now I want you to have a listen to this, Jim, because tonight on the track and the field.
Track and the field.
Well, it is the track and the field.
Yeah.
And a ballet.
Oh, but Band-Aid. That's it. You've never heard of John Keeble before,
have
you?
No, I've never heard of Band-Aid Bella.
What do you call him?
Band-Aid Bella.
Band-Aid Bella.
Overnight, we've won. Well, we haven't won the gold yet, but we have won the gold. Depends when you're listening, I suppose.
Oh, no. Well, what sort of a start?
Well,
it's
a hard one, Jim. If I went to the Olympics and represented Australia, I'd be in the decathlon, Jim.
Would you?
Well, I'm a long jumper, high jumper.
Not. You're none of those things.
Shot put,
no,
discus.
Discus.
Adelaide has told key defender Daniel Talia. Daniel, Jim.
That's him.
Get it right.
Yeah, yeah.
No more fighting with the young
Bill,
boys.
Ever.
Ever
again.
Or no more wine might be better.
No, that one's, that's okay.
You couldn't even remember it.
No.
Remember?
Hard word to say.
Retired at the Suns. These are all
Big
the Suns.
Zach.
Yeah, Big Zach. David Asprey. Asprey. Oh, no. It's always been hard to say that.
No, no, it hasn't.
It has. Three premierships at Richmond.
Who?
David. Very good player.
Asprey. He's called him.
But a good boy.
Very good boy.
Three premierships. Well done to you, David.
Asprey.
No, that's the Asprey.
What is it then?
Asprey.
Ash. You put an S in there like an Ash.
Tokyo, Jim, has been our most successful Olympics ever.
That's it.
That's it.
That's your Olympic rap.
See ya, Paris, in 3 years. Pasta la vista.
Pasta la vista.
Oui, oui.
That's Mexican anyway, isn't it? Or Spanish or something. It's got nothing to do with bloody... No, seriously.
That's good.
Well, what, like, good. Seriously.
You know how hard that is to put that on and do that stuff?
You know, this is what happens to me with, like, with the David Asprey.
You get dumber.
I start to question whether I've got his name right all those years.
Yeah, fair
I
enough.
Go, it's Asprey, isn't it? And then I go, no, I might have it wrong. But then he's talking about not only the Dick Scuss, but also the shock put. S-H-O-C-K, shock put.
That's shock.
And disc. Cuss.
It's discus, Jim. Well, it's hard to do that, put on what, that, to try so and do that every couple of weeks, an idiot file.
It's hard to do.
Yes. Because yeah. So we're not at home 10 years. Or at the pub, straight lace, straight down the line.
Bill, we've had this for 10 years.
10?
Yep.
We've been on for 10.
We've been on 10 years, and we've had 10 years of idiot files.
We got paid for 10
no, years. No, you have. This shit. I don't know how you have. Not you have dead set stolen a wage.
Not many places in the world where Hobart's up there.
No.
Speaking of stolen a wage, I wouldn't say boo you. Just sit there, old teeth out, wisdom. Look at him. What's wrong with you, Rabs?
A lot.
The Rush Hour Sunday Session. The best of JB and Billy on tap.
Yes, please.
Triple M.
After 208 games across 13 seasons, our next guest has decided it's time to hang up the boots.
Every pig has his day. I start as a fat kid from Benalla. Short, stumpy legs, long torso. No muscles, no speed, no athletic ability at all. And I'll finish that way as a 31-year-old.
He leaves the game with two best and fairest, an All-Australian jacket, and more tackles in two finals than Billy had in 17. Please welcome Tom Rockley.
Here he is, the Rock.
Yes, my favourite, Jim. My favourite man.
Welcome to you, Rock.
Thanks for having me, JB, Bill.
I don't know whether you heard this the other day because you're in Adelaide and we're stuck over here in Melbourne, but I tried to ring you and say, Rock, we want to talk to you because you've had a great career and you're a good friend of ours. And you, of course, said to me, I'm not coming on until Bill apologises. I don't know whether you heard this on the Rush Hour, Rock, but this is how it went. You need to apologise on air to the Rock. I beg your pardon? Can you believe that?
My 4-year-old son apologises better than what Bill does.
So, Bill, now he's on live.
Yes.
After a wonderful career and a good friend of ours, you can apologise now straight to him.
Have I offended you, Tom?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. Oh! There we go. Good to be back now, Tommy. Let's get the chat over and done with.
Oh, my
now, mate, how
goodness.
Was it? Because it's one of the hardest things to do is to get up in front of your mates and your teammates and the footy club and announce that you're retiring. How'd you go and did you cry?
Yes, thanks, Bill, for that. You finished my career 2 months before I had the opportunity to tell my teammates it was all over. So I do thank you for that. It was emotional. When yes. I was telling the playing group, but it was the right decision at the end of the day, and my health's got to come first and family. So this is the interview that I've been looking forward to since I finished my career, though. I'm absolutely pumped to do this interview with my two favourite people on Melbourne radio, JB and Rabs.
Oh! Here's some gold. He's just got some gold. I'm going to tick everyone. There's some gold, righto. Hey, how serious was it, Thomas? Because the blood clots, and that's why you really finished up. It's not because you are a bit chubby and couldn't get a kick, but the blood clots. How serious were they?
Yeah, they were a little bit serious. It got to a point where they were on my lungs and I sort of had to get straight to hospital. Geez. And it can spiral out of control pretty quick. So I'm sure you've heard of people with blood clots falling over of late because of the vaccines and so on, but they can be common in younger people, and we're probably the ones that fall over from them more so than the older people, because they go and get their checkups, where when you're a bit younger, you don't go and get your checkups. And I was just lucky. I went into the footy club. My beautiful wife, Shana, as you two keep reminding me that she's
too good,
she's done very well for herself. But
I'd watch her now since you've retired, but out of the footy scene, Jim Welsh.
What are you saying?
Well, she'd be having a look at Zach Butters or...
Oh! What the hell?
Connor Rose, Jim.
What's wrong with you, Bill?
Something is wrong with him.
Are you worried you might blow out a bit? Because when you retire, you're not training and you'll be able to eat what you can. And you with your body shape, not great, Tom. So are you worried about that? Because I can give you a couple of tips. You've certainly got to get off the froffies, no froffies.
You can give me some tips on how to stay in shape.
Yes.
You're kidding yourself, Bill.
No.
Yep.
Limit it to the weekend. Maybe 2 or 3 days a week you have a drink, and I'd look at light and easy for you.
I am a bit concerned, Bill. I think, what have I been retired now? 3 or 4 weeks. I reckon I've put on 6 or 7. So it's not going to take too long. I'll be in a race to 100 very quickly, I think.
Hey, Rock, Bill went to the jungle, lost 15 kilos,
yep,
and arrived back in Melbourne and had put them on by the time he got to Geelong.
Off the plane.
No, that's a fact. By the time he got to his house in Geelong, he'd put the 15 straight back on.
And he's trying to give me tips on how to stay in shape.
Yep.
Well, I'm worried about you.
Well, you're not. You're not worried at all.
Oh, yeah.
So, Bill, we need to say goodbye to Rock because he's got better things to do. So now you can properly say, look, Rock, I said some things I shouldn't have said about you, and I now want to formally apologise to you for them.
Okay, Tom, thanks for doing the interview. You're one of our favourites. We do love you here, and I'm sorry for calling you a little fat bastard. Which
you are. Bill, that's fine. You're probably on the money, and you've been very generous to me, you guys, over the years. So thanks for having me on. I'm about to go play at a quick 18 holes at Grange and suck a few frocks back for you, Bill.
That's a stab in the heart.
That is a stab. We're sitting here in a studio and then got to go home and huddle.
Well, that's not my fault you chose to stay in Victoria post footy.
Well done, Rock. You're a champ, mate. Great chatting to you. Good luck with everything coming up.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for having me.
The Rush Hour Sunday Session, pouring out the gold from JB and Billy on Triple M.
Talking about when you've made an idiot of yourself. We've got some callers to get to in a moment. I like this from Paulie, though, social media.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a sportsman's night listening to the great Bill Laurie, who was speaking about a young bloke who was playing his second test match for Australia.
I yelled
out, says Paul, he's a flash in the pan. Bill got angry and went on to talk about how good this bloke was going to be. The bloke's name was Shane Warne.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What about Helen, Jim? I saw a lady in a medical centre looking confused. As I said, hello, who are you looking for? This would have been okay, except the lady was holding a guide dog.
Oh, no.
And was blind.
Oh, no. Listening to Bill's special comments Saturday afternoon.
That's good.
Made me into an idiot. Lost brain cells I can never get back.
Oh, Georgie?
Says Jimmy Christie, yes.
Or when he crashed the customer's car through a few cars in the car yard when he was doing a service on it. That'd be good. Imagine that. The customer comes back for the car and he's
crashed it.
Mm.
Cam's
in. We're doing this topic because, of course, you told Andy Lee that you wrestled your sons.
No.
And you've got a big bruise.
Oh, I can't. I don't know how it happened.
They
try and take the old man on, and that's fine. But then the bloody two of them started coming hard at me. So I had to trim them both up fat. But in the process.
You didn't.
Jeez, I've dinged myself badly. Badly.
Big bruise.
Cam's in Geelong. Hello, Cam.
Hello, Cam.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good.
What happened?
Have you made an idiot of yourself, Cam?
Oh, it even makes me embarrassed just saying it.
Come on, Cam. What happened, mate?
Well, I was at my local footy club.
Which is?
Which is St Mary's.
Oh, nice club rooms there. Wow. <Yeah. laughs>
And the seniors are having a chat in the rooms, and I'm in the toilet, and I'm stuck on the toilet with no toilet paper.
Oh, no.
Oh. What'd you do?
And I'm screaming, someone give me some toilet paper! And I'm whacking on the door and everything. And one of my mates is ringing. He's like, Cam, shut up. They're having a meeting. I said, come on, get me some toilet paper. And then little did I know, I've come out. and I just see everyone's face. I'm like, what's everyone looking at me? And they go, Cam, they heard it all.
Oh, no.
Come on, Cam. You're better than that.
Cam and St. Mary's, you're better than that. Come on.
Stay on the line. I like that. Yeah. Brad says, I was looking for my sonnies for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then they're on my head.
Doug Hawkins did that. He does it every day, I reckon. Where are my sonnies? Oh, there they are,
Doug. Yep. I like it. Nafe in Moorabbin. Hello, Nafe.
Nafe.
G'day.
Where have you made an idiot of yourself, please?
I used to work at Bunnings, and my boss approached me one day and said, look, you've got to come in early tomorrow. I need you to pull some timber orders.
Mm-hmm.
So that night I decided to go out, got really, really drunk, and then slept in the next day. And then I was late to work. And here's my boss the next day waiting at the trade counter for me. And I walked up to him and he said, mate, grab your stuff. You've got to go. You let us down. I said, well, mate, he goes, I rang you about 10 times this morning, mate. I said, I haven't had a missed call at all. And he goes, show us your phone. So I pulled out my phone and showed him, and it was my TV remote.
Oh, no.
What
TV remote?
Put that in your pocket.
Yeah.
That's a fool's head, Nathan. Fair dinkum. And you're not there anymore.
No. I'll tell you what, I went back to work after that. He said, well, you're probably the only bloke that had his job saved by a TV remote.
Not bad.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, Marco, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. You know it's time to call it when your mate thinks he's a comedian.
Very, very funny.
This is Billy's joke on the Rush Hour Sunday session.
Ah, Jimmy boy, an old religious lady goes to the pet shop to buy a parrot.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is fine until she brings the parrot home, Jim, and it begins to swear.
Again, we're going with this one.
Did I tell this?
No, but you were talking about a swearing parrot yesterday.
Oh, yeah. No, this is different. This is
different.
An old lady.
Right, old lady brought it
home. Yeah. And she brought it home, Jim, and it began to swear. F this and F that and F you. And finally, the old lady had enough, Jim.
Hmm.
So she got the parrot and shoved it in the freezer.
Oh, no.
Slams the door shut. Anyway, it's pounding on the door. It's squeaking. It's shouting. It's swearing. And then it all goes quiet.
Mm.
And the poor old lady goes, wowee, I might have done something. Might have hurt the poor old bird. So she opens up the freezer. The parrot walks out calmly and steps gently onto the lady's outstretched hand, Jim. Mm. The parrot looks in the lady's eyes and said, I am truly sorry if my language offended you. And it will not happen again. I am very, very sorry. And if I may ask, what did the chicken do?
Oh, no. Just a boring story about a parrot.
Well, Jim, the chicken was a
90-second story.
Yeah, that's
the frozen chicken, he must have swore a lot or did something bad, Jim. That's not bad.
No, it's horrible.
I know you like it.
No,
I know you're trying to have a little smirk.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And, Rabs, you wouldn't know what funny was.
Billy Brownless is the best.
Now let's go.
Bottoms up. That was the Rush Hour Sunday session. And if you still want more, catch the boys live or on demand on the Listener app.
I feel good.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. You could win the holy grail of fantasy footy and $50,000 cash. Play now, supercoach.com.au.